What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
January 7th of 2026, a Caltrans maintenance worker doing traffic control on State Route 154 east of Painted Cave Road in Santa Barbara County. Normal day. It's a rural stretch of highway, wooded and steep, about 95 miles northwest of Hollywood. And he looked down into the tall grass near the shoulder, and he sees a small card. He picks it up. It's a United States passport card. He reads the name on it. He pulls out his phone and searches it. News articles come back about the murder of a 14-year-old girl. It happens to be hers, Celeste Rivas Hernandez. Why is her passport card nearly 100 miles outside of Hollywood on the side of a road? CHP officer Sean Baranserto testified to that sequence in a Los Angeles courtroom on the second day of David's preliminary hearing. That passport card belonged to a girl whose remains had been discovered months earlier in the front trunk of a Tesla registered to singer David. Prosecutors allege location data shows Burke drove that exact stretch of highway twice. Once in April of 25, right after Celeste was allegedly killed, and again, roughly 6 weeks later, two trips, same remote spot. That's where a dead girl's identification ended up. I'm going to break down what happened on day two. Day one, we already did a piece on that, but to get you quickly caught up, day one of this hearing was the shopping list, the chainsaws, the body bag labeled City Morgue that you can get on Amazon, by the way. The blue inflatable pool, a shovel ordered through a delivery app the day after Celeste allegedly died. That was the alleged mechanics. How prosecutors say Burke covered up what happened. Yeah. Day two, something different. Day two answered a question that the shopping list could not. What made any of this worth the risk? Prosecutors brought in two financial witnesses, a CHP officer and an LAPD criminologist. And the argument they assembled was not about what Burke allegedly did to Celeste's body. It was about what Celeste allegedly could have done to Burke's career. And it was about how many people around that career may have known her first name before they knew what happened to her. Louis Pomorio, a senior vice president of finance at Interscope Capital, testified to the numbers. Burke signed with Interscope Records in 2022. That year, the label paid him $950,000. In 2023, a number jumped to $3.869 million. By 2025, the year Celeste allegedly died, Interscope Records paid him another $2.7 million. On top of that, Burke had brand deals with Crocs, Hollister, and Bose. He kept roughly 90% of those partnerships, according to that testimony. totaling about $485,000 in endorsement deals. All told, prosecutors put Burke's gross earnings above $10 million in 3 years. For a kid who started out recording music for Fortnite montage videos in his bedroom and posting them on YouTube, he was doing pretty good. His breakout track had more than a billion streams on Spotify alone. He opened for SZA. He played Coachella, Interscope, and Darkroom signed him and built an entire release strategy around his debut album. By 20 years old, David Burke was one of the most streamed indie artists on the planet. And it's important. We're not just pumping that up. So when he watches this in prison, to go, what are people saying about me, to make him feel good. That's everything he had going on. And it's important to understand just how much he had going on. It wasn't just he had a couple streams on YouTube, and there was a handful of people who were watching him. There was some serious money starting to come in, and he was at the very beginning of that. Pimero also testified to the end of that pipeline. Interscope terminated Burke's contract in December of 25. That was 3 months after Celeste's remains were found in that tow yard. The billion streams stopped mattering. The Coachella sets stopped. The SZA tour was a memory. Every dollar Burke had earned from music between 2022 and 2025 came from a career that was finished the moment someone opened the front trunk of his Tesla. That's the prosecution's frame. Burke allegedly killed a 14-year-old to protect a revenue stream that pretty much collapsed anyway the moment she was found. $10 million. $10 million in, and the thing he was allegedly protecting evaporated the second the world saw what was in that car. And then the testimony swerved. The financial witnesses were supposed to establish the dollar figure, supposed to put a price tag on the motive, but prosecutor Beth Silverman had a second agenda in that witness box. She started pressing Benjamin Greger, a money manager who also worked on Burke's management team, about what he knew about Celeste before the body was found. Greger's answer landed in four words: I knew her first name. He said he heard the name Celeste through Rob Mornronk, Burke's manager. Silverman asked whether Mornroth told Greger that Celeste was Burke's girlfriend. Burke's defense attorney, Marilyn Bednarski, shot to her feet. Objection! The judge sustained it. The answer never made it to the record, but the question sat in that courtroom kind of like a grenade with a pin pulled. Silverman kept pressing. She asked Greger whether he knew Burke had taken Celeste to London. Greger admitted he had heard about the London trip. Silverman asked whether Greger knew Burke had taken Celeste to nightclubs with both of them using fake identification, since Burke himself turned 21 only weeks before the hearing. Bednarski erupted. Counsel is testifying. Judge cut off that line of questioning. But the structural damage was already done. That line of questioning was not about Greger. Not really. It was about every person in Burke's orbit who allegedly knew that a 14-year-old was traveling internationally with their client, attending nightclubs on fraudulent identification and spending significant time at his home. Prosecutors are not just building a motive around money. They're mapping a circle of people who allegedly knew a girl's first name and never asked the obvious second question. Greger's testimony went further. Still, he testified that after Celeste's remains were discovered in September of 25, Burke's management team began using encrypted messaging applications. And according to Greger, Burke discussed using a Texas property as potential bail money, and that Burke reportedly wanted other properties transferred into his mother's name to protect her from possible civil lawsuits. A 14-year-old girl's body found in the trunk of your car, and according to this testimony, the first move is not grief, not shock, not calling your lawyer to proclaim your innocence. The first move is asset protection. Encrypted messages, property transfers, bail strategy, that is what Greger described from the witness stand. Burke's defense team had an answer for the financial testimony. Bednarski argued that Gregor and his mother managed Burke's money and that Burke himself was unaware of the day-to-day handling of his finances. The implication being that the man who grossed $10 million somehow floated above the actual details, that someone else handled the credit cards, the brand deals, the label payments, that the defendant was disconnected from the very fortune prosecutors say gave him the motive to kill. But Silverman countered, so you know, that Burke had credit cards, that Burke was making purchases, and that Gregor himself had asked Burke about purchasing airline tickets for Celeste to travel to London with him. Disconnected from the details. It's a hard sell when you're personally booking international flights for a 14-year-old. Just saying. Then the hearing moved 95 miles northwest. Bernstrom's testimony about the passport card carried a detail that will not leave that courtroom quietly. The Caltrans worker who found it in the brush along SR-154 picked it up, read the name, and searched it in his phone. When he found articles about Celeste's murder, he reported it to his supervisor. The supervisor called CHP. An officer collected the card. Detectives returned 10 days later to interview the worker. When the photograph of that passport card was displayed in the courtroom monitor, Celeste's mother became visibly upset. People around her moved to comfort her. Her parents had been present both days. Her mother covered her mouth during the crime scene photographs on day one. On day two, she watched a picture of her daughter's identification recovered from tall grass on the side of a highway 95 miles from where that daughter was last seen alive. Prosecutors allege that Burke drove to that stretch of highway twice, once immediately after Celeste was allegedly killed in April of 25, and again about 6 weeks later. The location data, according to the prosecution, places Burke at the spot where the passport card was found. The defense attacked this testimony. They pointed out the Caltrans worker was not wearing gloves when he handled the card. Ooh. They try to suggest suspicion should fall on the worker himself. He just pulls his random card to this person he doesn't know that happens to be connected to a murder scene, and somehow it's connected. Why? What, judge? Why would you? Why would that be? Yeah. They argue nobody could say how long the passport had been in that brush or whether a storm had washed it in from somewhere else. No, maybe a badger, a honey badger, if you will, found it. Was going to make a nest out of it. Took it all the way from Celeste's house up the highway, 95 miles, and it just happens to be in the same place where David went right after he allegedly murdered her. Ha! Judge, totally explainable. God bless defense attorneys, right? It's a skill, and it's a good thing we have them for when people actually are being accused of things that aren't true. In some cases, I mean, this is the job. You're going to get ones that you got to argue it as vigorously as you can for the sake of your client, whether you personally behind everything believe it's true or not. You got to run it out. Fair enough. But prosecutors responded with the location data. Two trips, same coordinates, and a dead girl's identification in the weeds. It's probably how it got there. Not a honey badger. The final witness of the day was Chelsea Murillo, a LAPD criminologist who processed the Tesla at the tow yard. Her testimony built a picture that's hard to shake, a layer of dust on the vehicle. It had been sitting exposed for a long time, a powerful decomposition odor, insects inside the trunk. It's like a science experiment. And then the detail, air fresheners. Multiple air fresheners. David really is an idiot, isn't he? I mean, found in the front trunk where the body was, in the center console, in the back seats, lots of air fresheners. If I just go to the gas station and get a bunch of these little trees that smell, that'll throw them off. Oh. Oh, you deep-thinking, profound man, you, with your melancholy music. That seems so deep and grounded to relationships in the world. Two things which you know little of. It's all about packaging, you know? All about packaging. You get some dope who's pretty much a dope. Make him look like he's some sort of melancholic, ironic figure. Market him that way. Make him a little creepy, a little dark. And then we're shocked when it's like, oh, he's really just kind of an idiotic murderer. We thought he was going to sell some albums. Prosecutors have said in court filings that Burke told friends and business associates who noticed the smell around his home and vehicle that it was nothing, just a smell, nothing to worry about. The air fresheners told a different story from what the witness is, you know, from the witness stand, basically. Nothing to see here. Someone allegedly knew exactly what that odor was, and rather than address it, allegedly tried to cover it with pine and vanilla. There's a version of this hearing where day two was quieter than day one. No crime scene photographs projected on the courtroom monitor. No itemized Amazon receipts for chainsaws. No body camera footage of a welfare check where Burke allegedly told deputies a 13-year-old told him she was 18. Day two was documents and dollar amounts and a passport card in the brush. But quieter is not weaker. Day two put a number on what Burke allegedly stood to lose. It showed that people around him allegedly knew the girl's first name. It revealed that the first move after the body was found was allegedly to protect assets and switch to encrypted communications to place Burke's location data on a remote highway where Celeste's identification was recovered. And it showed a car stuffed with air fresheners where a body had been decomposing for months with the body. Burke's defense attorneys have maintained since his arrest that he did not cause Celeste's death. Their statement from April still stands. The actual evidence in this case will show that David Burke did not murder Celeste Rivas Hernandez, and he was not the cause of her death. They've suggested that someone else in Burke's inner circle may bear responsibility. Burke's just the idiot who drove around with a body for half a year. Yeah. Prosecutors responded to that with two straight days of pointing at one person. His car, his home, his Amazon account, his email address on the airline tickets, his credit cards on the purchases, his location data on that highway, his name tattooed on a finger that was no longer attached to a body when it was found. A $10 million career that vanished the moment someone opened that trunk. And a money manager who sat in a witness box and said he knew a 14-year-old girl's first name, heard it from the defendant's own manager, and never asked a single follow-up question. Celeste Rivas Hernandez was 14 years old. She was from Lake Elsinore, California, about 80 miles southeast of Los Angeles. Prosecutors say she met David Burke online when she was 11. She traveled with him to London, to Texas, to meet his family, to Las Vegas. She had a matching tattoo on her right index finger. Her left ring finger, the one prosecutors say bore his name, was missing when they found her. Her parents sat in that courtroom for a second day, through the receipts, through the dollar amounts, through a picture of their daughter's passport pulled from tall grass along a highway she should never have been near. They were sitting there again. The hearing is expected to continue for several more days. We will continue to bring you daily updates on the damning information that continues to come out of that courtroom, where the judge will decide whether there's enough evidence to send this to trial. Oh, there's enough evidence. The question is, will David plea because of how damning the evidence is? After day two, the number on the record is $10 million. The question on the record is how many people around that $10 million knew a 14-year-old's first name and decided it was just not their problem. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. That's where we'll continue the conversation. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage here, whether it's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. We're there. Press subscribe. And we'll continue our conversation, like I said, in the comment section. Links are in the description. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.